Sheriff Lear, we are ready for you. Come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. Good morning.
Again, I'll be brief this morning. The first thing, Under Sheriff Gilhausen, last meeting informed you about the NICE recording system that we are working with Motorola. The recording system is our 911 dispatch system that records all incoming phone calls, radio traffic. It's a logging system which retains the information for a year. The NICE recording system was installed just a little bit over a year and a half ago, and we've had several difficulties in getting it, the maintenance, and having it crash on us, and so we got with Motorola and NICE to try to fix the issue. Ultimately, NICE failed to fix it. Motorola, with their contract, just recently agreed to cover the cost of that system and replace it with another system, and it's called an Eventide system. That system we are familiar with. That we had that prior to when we got the NICE system. So I just wanted to give you the update that Motorola has come through, and they've offered to cover the cost and replace the equipment on themselves. So,
wow.
Yeah. So very, very pleased with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is in the process right now. Looking at maybe a month to 2 months before we can get that system installed and up and running. So hopefully before our busy season hits. The other thing, and this is just a food for thought. Abandoned vehicles in the county, state statute, pays the tow companies a fixed amount to take that vehicle from where it is located to our impound yard. This is not cost effective for the tow companies with their insurance premiums. So three of the four that we have on contract with the sheriff's office are no longer responding to abandoned vehicles. Mm-hmm. They still respond to assist, AAA vehicle crashes, that kind of stuff, because the county pays them from their residence or from their business to the crash and then back. So right now, Belleville's is the only one that will respond to an abandoned vehicle. Mm-hmm. How long they will continue to do that, I don't know. So thinking of alternatives, I have two propositions, really. One is that we fall back on the county road and bridge. They have a trailer with a truck, and we start hauling them ourselves. Or we consider supplementing the tow companies, that extra. Yes, Mary, sorry.
No.
We
no,
can't do that.
I'm interrupting.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Are you aware that we collect money for every car title that's issued? There's a dollar that's taken from that title fee and held in a fund Roxana holds for towing of vehicles. I don't know if it's abandoned
vehicles
or if it's just, well, yeah, it probably would be abandoned vehicles. But I don't know if you're aware of that, but I also wonder if we're using that to the best of our ability. We could maybe use that for supplemental money.
Okay. Yes, right now we are not. So.
Okay. We should probably chat about that because... like I said, we have a cap on how much we can collect, and it's a fairly good amount of money. I don't know what the balance is right now, but there would be money available there in that fund maybe to help.
Okay, all right, yeah.
So, for every car title that's issued in the county, $1 of that $15 goes into this fund.
Okay. You learn something new every day.
Yes. Well, I guess. It's the first I heard of that.
So should I get with Roxana on that? Or?
Yeah, Roxana. Probably all three of us. Let's
okay. So sit down and discuss.
Yeah,
all right. Or look at that.
Yeah.
All right.
Because our impound yard is out in Daniel, right?
Well, we have two. So we have one down south in Big Piney and then one in Daniel.
Right.
Yeah. But their, you know, their biggest concern is it's they're not getting paid. If they get an abandoned vehicle in Bondurant, their trip from their house to the vehicle.
Per vehicle?
No. They're paid per mile. However, the mileage from their business to the vehicle is not covered by state statute. It's just one trip.
To the impound yard. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
So they get paid by the mile?
From where the vehicle is to the impound yard.
But not their trip up?
Correct.
Or their trip home from the impound
yard. Yes.
So is it just mileage they get paid then? Or do they get a fee?
I double checked, but as far as I know, I thought it was just mileage.
Just mileage?
Yep, on abandoned vehicles only. This is abandoned vehicles only.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, you folks can chat a little bit.
Okay, I'll give you an update on that. So, yeah. Other than that, I didn't have anything else. So,
I would like to thank you for yesterday.
Oh, absolutely.
And please thank all the people that are in your organization for the professionalism and really putting on a very nice class, in service, whatever you want to call it for us. It was, it was very good. I learned a lot yesterday.
So just to fill everybody in, three of you attended an ALICE training. It's an active shooter training with the sheriff's office. I've been through it before. I was not there at this one, but it's a very worthwhile thing to do, and you learn a lot when you go through that, don't you?
Yes, the Sheriff's Department did an outstanding job.
Yeah, terrific. So thank you.
You bet. And our officer, Deputy Lang, is planning on doing this with the Chamber of Commerce, the schools.
Right. And has done in the past, too.
Right.
Trying to get them back up to speed.
Right.
Have you had any contact from Homeland Security regarding the eclipse and everything coming up this summer?
Still
any updates?
This pretty much the same information. We're not getting a hard number to say of how many people we are expecting. We do know that the overflow has now, expanded down to Rock Springs, Green River, from the Jackson area. Pinedale is filling up or is full. Even Big Piney, Marbleton are starting to fill their motels, hotels. Any federal or BLM land that has a reservation is taken. And still we can't. No way to predict numbers. So.
Nothing new.
Nothing new.
Okay. No.
Yep, it'll still happen.
They're still planning on it? It's still scheduled?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. Glad to hear it. Thank you, Sheriff. Anything further, gentlemen?
Nope. No, sir.
Excellent.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thanks, you guys, too.
Thanks. I'm waiting for Rob. So we'll take a 5-minute break and reconvene when Robin gets here.
This would have been a good year for the rainbows to come to Southern County.
Yeah.
Don't count them out.
They could show up. Yeah.
They may be in Fremont County.
Maybe they're covered for the eclipse. We just don't know it.
So we never did get a hold of Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we figured he was pretty busy. Uncle Charlie, is that who he was helping?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I'm not sure where they were branded at. It was off the highway.
Gotcha, yeah, so he decided not to bother him and catch him another trip.
Yeah. Yeah, Cotton went over that day. He didn't get back till 10 o'clock that night. He was dragging. They used a calf table.
Oh, yeah.
120 head.
Takes a long time.
And slow, and the way he got laid over, he said that castor was done. He said he just killed him back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I can understand that. Shoot. Did they have enough help?
Yeah, they had enough help. They got
Yeah, it just takes a lot.
It just doesn't take a lot of help with it after.
No, it doesn't, but it takes a long time.
It's just slow.
Yeah.
Really slow.
Yeah.
Or
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's pretty good.
First part of the interview.
I mean, what I'm saying is, it's when you look at it, it's pretty accurate.
Okay. Cast on some wood trucks or so. Yeah. Fire trucks.
Yeah. Okay, I'll keep watching.
Oh, needs to be.
Oh.
Okay.
It doesn't.
Here now, Cal? Yeah, I think they were going to try to finish today if possible. He started Saturday. So. He didn't have any as of early this morning, but.
So you were able to open that up?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So he's a 3-year lease on that.
So which one? The matter?
Oh, I know.
That's.
It's on one of these.
When you're looking at
those three examples.
So go ahead and get that one.
I've got to go.
Pardon?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. I told my brother, I said, yeah, I don't get some questions like that. I'm special sort of really bit. I
Did you double click on that?
On this?
Yeah, with this right here. Double click on that.
There you go.
Okay.
So I don't close this.
You'll have to get out of there. Go to the X.
There's the first one.
That's what we also
No. She sent us three attachments.
Okay, go ahead.
No, he's totally different. He is. But he's a monster. He gained almost 2 pounds.
No.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
It's
Yeah. And grew 2 inches. Yeah. He's just he's a monster. Yeah.
Well,
and that's the
down here, so because Mary's one of the second to this.
He what? Oh, yeah. Definitely. Big kid, holy cow.
What happened to Rob? I don't know.
We'll stall for a while. Yeah, we're playing tight.
We're too comfortable.
I don't think so.
Sue is in Cheyenne this week. She was scheduled to be already, so I said, like, pretend to be her today. Sorry, I'm all you get.
Oh my
God. But it's no different than anybody coming to ask for information. With the road bridge that we plan and so on, they would have recommended we do this.
Census meeting. April 27th. Yeah. Oh, you're not going?
This would be like his third census, I think. So like 30 years worth.
I never heard of spring break until I got here. I'm sure we got time off for like my father did. He'd get off of work. We didn't go to college.
Come on in, Robin.
Trying to get this stuff right.
You're doing great. No worries. Why don't you sit in front of that microphone? It's on. There you go. Excellent. Thank you. Thanks for joining us today, Robin.
No problem. Amen. I have somebody coming in just a minute to drop off one more grant application.
Okay.
I'd like to. Sorry.
Yeah, catch your breath.
Relax. Hello.
Hello, Robin.
Robin Clover. We've met many times in the past for different reasons.
Yes.
Welcome to the County Commissioners.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time and service.
Thank you.
Okay. long as this is a new grant application process and we have new County Commissioners, I just wanted to take a quick minute to talk about TANF. If that is all right.
You bet. Please
do. I thought
do.
Maybe you guys would want to know that.
Put that microphone right in front of you so everybody can see, or hear, sorry, see. Yeah. So there you go. And take your time.
Okay. Breathe. Yeah, I'm just trying to catch my breath. My printer wasn't working. I was like, ah!
No worries, okay?
I did some looking last night to find out exactly when this TANF grant came to the county to the first time. I believe it was October 2004. There was an initiative prior to that time to bring different members of the community together very specifically for what this is called is the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families Community Partnership Initiative grant application. Many years ago, back in the early 2000s, they made it available for every county to have a certain amount of money that came into the county. And then the county entities came together to look how they could work together, promote the TANF issues, and utilize these funds. Since the very beginning, I've been the TANF grant administrator to make sure that there's all transparency. SAVE does receive TANF money. But it's the reporting burden, all of that type of thing, they needed an entity to be able to help with that TANF process. So that's why I speak for TANF to the County Commissioners. There are other TANF partners that are here, and when we talk about the grant here in a minute, they will be able to speak to their own specifics in that grant. So over the years, several different entities have been a part of this TANF project. It is a fluid partnership. every 3 to 4 years with the direction of the county commissioners. We come together with all the nonprofits, let them know TANF is available to see who else would like to join the grant. That doesn't necessarily happen every year because the collaboration process is very lengthy, and we did it last year. We had that new, let's see who wants to come together, Big Brothers, Big Sisters joined us last year as a new TANF partner. Currently this year, TANF has SAVE, the Domestic Violence Sexual Assault Program, High Country Behavioral Health in their home-based services program, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and Pregnancy Resource Center, I believe now called the Family Tree. We meet several times over the year. We talk together about how we can help each other in our missions to help support Sublette County residents. That's part of the TANF initiative. I do have here, I could have killed many trees for you guys, but I didn't think you want me to.
We're good, thank you. Yeah.
Didn't think you wanted me to. And I did mean to make a copy of this one, and I apologize that I did not. I do have, and Mary has it as well, I have a copy of the grant application from TANF. It consists of instructions.
We have this right here in front of us.
They have the TANF grant application itself.
Whatever you sent to us, it gives all the qualifications.
Okay. Okay.
We have that right.
So we have the directions. The application itself is very lengthy, and then we have a reporting burden. I did take a quick minute to print off, and so I'll read it for the record, what TANF is available for. These are federal funds. TANF is Temporary Assistance to Needy Family, as I said. There's lots of TANF funding streams. TANF here, TANF there. This is a very specific one to the Community Partnership Initiative, but they still have the same rules under federal law that TANF can be used for. It is to provide assistance to needy families so that children can be cared for in their homes or in the homes of relatives. End the dependence of needy parents on government benefits by promoting job preparation, work, and marriage. Prevent and reduce out-of-wedlock pregnancies and establishing an annual numerical goals for preventing and reducing the incidences of these pregnancies. And encouraging the formation and maintenance of two-parent families. Those are the national federal TANF guidelines that we have to operate under. We don't have to each do all of them, but our programming has to address one of them. In the grant application, each of us have said which of those we address. I can speak to SAVE as an example. Ours is Life Skills Program is to end dependence of needy parents on government benefits by promoting job preparation, work, and we quietly say marriage, only because many times our clients' marriage and in that type of a relationship is not always safe. It says programs can include but are not limited to support for work activities, education training, subsidized employment, mental health, substance abuse, domestic violence services, developmental and learning disability, mentoring, after-school programming, education supports, family formation and pregnancy prevention, access and visitation, early childhood services, and community development. Those are an example of some of the things that these TANF funds can use. I'm going to leave this with you guys because it goes on to talk about some of the other goals as well. Are there any questions at this point about what TANF is? Okay. In this county, as I said, there are several of us that have come together this year, and there's 4 of us. The amount of money requesting from the state for the federal money for this county is $50,000. The breakdown for that money is the SAVE Task Force receives $19,677. The Family Tree receives $17,860. High Country Behavioral Health, $8,463. Big Brothers and Big Sisters, $4,000. That is the breakdown for the $50,000. I have talked to Corinne with TANF to see if that funding is fairly secure in today's world and knowing what's going on with federal funding. At this point, they have heard that there's no changes to TANF and there is no anticipated changes at this point in time. As the grant administrator, what I do is I bring together the four grants. Each of these are individual right now. And this is what gets sent to the state. But there is a cover grant that goes to it that takes some of our information and puts it into a county application. This is all backup documentation to go to the state so they can see how we individually do it. But there is a cover one from the county that says, I'm the grant administrator, here's the program directors, here's what they do, here's the money, that type of thing. I have not put that yet together. I'm waiting, got the last of the grants today. After today's meeting, I will put that formal request. My hope today is that you guys would give tentative approval for the TANF grant. It can be individual or all together. That is your choice. Once I know what to do, I will put that cover letter together or that cover application to the state. Get it to Mary by Friday. It needs to be then signed, and it needs to be to the state by next Wednesday. So that is the nuts and bolts of what the TANF is and how it works. So the rest of this is what, if you guys want to hear about what each of us are individually doing, how we're going to be using the TANF money and that type of thing, we have all of that available. So okay. How do you want me to proceed?
Thank you. Gentlemen, do you have any questions?
I don't at this time. We've been through this
many times, but very new commission, and I know that with there's another person as well.
Hold on, I'll get to the public in a minute.
And so that's why I wanted to. I also have other, I don't want to bring up a can of worms, but I have talked to Corinne on the faith community and how TANF funds can be used and that type of thing, and I don't know if you want me to address that, how you want to move forward.
Each one of the grants that you have received, even the one that you got today, mm-hmm. there's a group of people that have put this together as a group. In other words, whether it be SAFE, whether it be Family Tree, whether it be Big Sisters, Big Brothers, mm-hmm. there's a group that has done this together with your help.
Yes.
And that's the end result.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, it's just not one person doing this.
No, it's not one person doing it, but we each write our own grant. The group didn't help me write SAFE's grant.
Okay.
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 We each write our own grant. What we do, and that's part of the grant, they want to know about the collaborative effort in the mm-hmm. community. Through Coordinated Care, which is a meeting I believe you guys are familiar with, maybe?
Maybe.
Encourage you very much to come to a Coordinated Care meeting at some point. We meet the last Thursday of every month, and it's where all the human service providers have the ability to come together to talk about services and what's going on. It's through that platform that we talk about TANF, when a new grant is available, anybody wanting to come, and we start talking. It is then those that are interested, we meet together as a group. So this year, it was the four entities meeting together, what are our needs, what's going on, has the programming changed, identifying the needs. Through Coordinated Care, that's where the transparency comes in, as we let Coordinated Care know what's going on, so those that are participating and get minutes know when we address the TANF. So together as a group, we address needs that have been identified in the county, and then individually we write our grant. Did that answer your question?
Yes. Go ahead.
So Robin, there is a person at the state level that is responsible for reviewing the grant applications see that they meet the requirements that are put forth under the federal guidelines.
Yes, her name is Corinne Livers.
Okay.
I just received a forwarded email from her today on conversations that we've had in the past. She knows that we're meeting. I'm the direct contact with Corinne, but each of the individual programs can talk to Corinne as well, as well as anybody else who wants to talk to Corinne. She is the TANF administrator for the state. These are all pass-through funds, though, to the state of Wyoming. So
federal money passing through the state.
Federal money passing through to the state.
Okay.
And so she follows, and the state follows, the federal guidelines for TANF.
And she validates that all of these applications meet those guidelines or requirements.
Absolutely. And in fact, there has been a time that one of the applicants she took out, she wouldn't fund them. So she really does mm-hmm. look. And the reason why that particular organization wouldn't be funded is because it was duplicating TANF money. And it had to do with childcare, because TANF pays, it's TANF money that pays people for their child care if they qualify for child care assistance. So when this other organization wanted to be a part of it, she had to pull them out because it was a duplication of funding under the TANF process. So she does look very carefully. She looks at them individually. She lets me know if somebody needs to change something or if there's a concern. I've had to address daycare before at SAVE because daycare is paid for by TANF. And we don't pay for daycare. We pay for babysitting for meetings. TANF doesn't pay for that, so she allows us to do that. But when I just put daycare in there, I had to rewrite that piece. So she does look individually at each of these programs to make sure that they fit the requirements.
Okay, so this is federal money that comes to the state that then is allocated to the county and administered by us?
The county is the fiduciary agent for these.
And how that piece works, real quickly, is each of us individually write a voucher to the county, and the county pays us individually. Then quarterly, I bring all of those financials together, and then we also have a requirement of reporting from the state that talks about reporting everything that you do, how you do it, what's going on. I bring their individual reports, their individual financials together, put it into one format, and then I voucher the state for all of the money that the county has paid out, and the state reimburses the county.
Okay, so could you talk to us about the process of, at your level, how this pie is divided up? Who determines which of these four entities get what and how much? Is that based on...
That's been an ongoing process, and that also has always been a concern of the commissioners in the past, because as you bring more people in, those funds decrease per individual. Is it more important to fund several small or a few large? That's why we want to make sure we open it up to the ability of everybody to join this conversation. It is a decision that's made amongst the people applying for TANF.
Okay.
Now, in the past, because of the concern of, and I can only speak for SAVE, okay, currently SAVE gets almost $20,000 a year. About 2,000 of that actually is for administrative purposes for my position as TANF grant administrator. So direct programming to SAVE is $17,000. That's the only money that SAVE receives for administrating this grant. Is not compensating my time, but it at least in some fair effort. So we come together as a group. We're very sensitive to each other's needs. Because I'm the administrator, I try and take as much of a back step on decision making for funding, because it's hard to fight for SAVE for funding when other people are there with needs, and I'm supposed to be keeping everybody on track and remain unbiased as the grant administrator. So as new people come in is when we discuss, okay, here's what the money is, and at that point we come back to the county and say, how do you want us to move forward? Do you want us to cut funding from individuals to add, and that type of thing? So it is a fluid, ongoing conversation. On a year where there is no change in TANF participants, I check to see if the money is still available at the rate we've done, and we as a group just move forward as the previous grant cycle, unless an entity can argue a greater need or less a need. This year, Big Brothers Big Sisters reduced their request by $1,000. They felt that they didn't need the almost five that they got last year, so they reduced it to four. We then took that extra $1,000 and just divided it equally between the three TANF partners that were remaining in the grant.
These are all nonprofit organizations.
Yes.
Okay.
In this county, they are.
Okay. If the TANF grant was not available in this county, all of these groups would be coming to this table during the budget process looking for money to be able to operate. So what the TANF grant does is it alleviates money from other departments in the county that the county commissioners have to deal with. And it really does help the county big time from a financial standpoint to keep these organizations going.
It does. And again, I can only speak on behalf of SAVE. Okay. SAVE receives county money as well. So some
okay,
of so us...
I, there's, This is all new.
You'll be seeing me.
Okay.
I'll see you back.
Okay.
You'll be seeing me.
All right. Okay. And you'll be asked the question, why are you here? I thought you had the TANF grant.
And so I will give you, and you will see why. The full breakdown of funding for SAVE and all of the percentages that we do. Each of us have our own way of requesting to you.
Very good.
So I cannot speak. I do believe, and Mary could probably correct me if I'm wrong, I do know that the family tree does not receive direct county funding. SAVE does. I believe High Country Behavioral Health does. And I believe Big Brothers Big Sisters do.
That's true.
That doesn't necessarily mean they receive money for this program. Because this is a very specific program, like ours is Life Skills. That I can't speak to because I don't know how those funds work. I can tell you, and again, just speaking for SAVE, in our little piece of the pie, if SAVE lost TANF funding of the $19,677, I would be laying off staff.
Okay.
It doesn't fully fund a position, but it funds about, and it's in my grant, 13 to 15% of two different positions. And even though it's not a full position, SAVE already has a fundraising goal of over $40,000 a year, and without this, to raise that to $60,000 in private funding is unrealistic in today's economy, mm-hmm. and I'm afraid I would be forced to lay off, and for us, it would affect prevention. Direct services will always be the last, so the community prevention work, the working in the schools, all of that type of thing is what would suffer, even though TANF doesn't pay for it, because I'd have to... my budget.
Sure. Okay. Any further questions, gentlemen? So I'm going to open the time up for a public comment, and if we could ask perhaps for you to keep your comments brief and succinct, and if perhaps somebody is a spokesperson, that would be great too. Then we don't duplicate what we're doing. So, Anne, would you like to begin and perhaps be the spokesperson?
Yes.
Okay.
I would.
Very good.
And first of all, I want to thank you your time. And Robin, thank you. My name is Ann Evanson McNerney, and I'm here in place of Jeannie Brown, and I'm going to be the spokesperson today for our little grassroots organization that we're starting. And we're really concerned about the funding that TANF has for the family tree. And we just need to be enlightened, which you have, but that the family tree has not spoken yet, the spokesperson. And it's regarding their funding. And at this point, we do not want any confrontation, but we're concerned about the separation of state and also church. And since the family tree is, you know, church-based, Christ-based program, we have a little bit of concerns about that. And one of them is the current concerns at the family tree, have they been able to reduce the out-of-wedlock pregnancy? Because that's one of the criterias that's in the federal law as to into receiving the funding. So we're really concerned about that. And I know you gentlemen, Mary, and I believe you, Robin, have received the letter that we have sent. And so that is our biggest concern.
We did too.
Okay. No. That is one of our biggest concerns, is separating church and state and taxpayer money to, you know, fund, you know, a church-based or a Christ-based, you know, organization. And I know that SAVE does a wonderful job. I know that the family tree does a really wonderful job. Yet we kind of have to look at our organization as a little grassroots organizations, just looking at, you know, are they meeting the criteria? Are they reducing, you know, the out-of-wedlock pregnancy here?
I do know Family Tree is represented here, but let me just address really quickly one thing. I have been in contact with Corin Livers from the inception of Family Tree, at that point PRC being a part of this TANF initiative, through the county commissioners many years ago, wanting to make sure that it was appropriate for a faith-based community to apply for TANF funding. It is a part of the federal regulation that allows them to do so. Mm-hmm. It has to do with services provided. I do know that Family Tree, along with all of the rest of us,
have some real strict reporting requirements to the state. So I would assume, if Corinne was concerned, that it was not meeting the expectations, that that would be the case. But as far as the actual statistics and, I mean, I got the grant right here, and so I know I can speak to Family Tree, but I think it would be far more appropriate for Family Tree to speak for themselves. I'm not here to, I'm here as the TANF grant administrator who is unbiased and fighting for SAFE funding. My job is not
unbiased, but fighting for SAFE funding.
No, as the TANF administrator, it's not my job to speak for the other grants. I can only speak for my job. So I would encourage for the Family Tree to have an opportunity to speak to some of the stuff besides the reduction of pregnancies. Right. I do know part of the initiative is to do abstinence education in the schools, and I do know Family Tree does that. Mm-hmm. They're on both sides of the county working in the schools as well.
Right.
So I know that in some of this, some of their activities meet those requirements, but I do not know the level of success.
And I don't know how open if those are public records.
Absolutely. Well, I can speak for SAFE.
Okay.
You can come look at my grants any day and my financials any day.
But yeah, our concern is being, you know, like more of a church-based, you know, Christ-like, you know, program, which is fine, you know, what they're doing. But, you know, we're really concerned with taxpayer money if we're going to look at, you know, the First Amendment separation of church and state.
In talking to Corinne, she knows this is happening and this conversation is taking place, and she agrees. If there's any concerns about the way TANF is being administered in the state, she really is the person to talk to. She's the one that's following the federal guidelines. It, in my personal opinion, the concern is the feds, we're just following what the feds say we can do with those funds.
Right, and I just heard about Corinne, so I haven't had a chance to contact her.
I forwarded her information to Jeannie. It was in that email that I sent you. Corinne was on there as well.
Right.
So she is very familiar with all of that. She did send me an email today from a conversation that we had in 2015. And it was, again, every few years we address this to make sure we're appropriate. And she sent a link to me, and then it says here, the TANF Charitable Choice Provisions, Title I, Section 104 of PRWORA of 1996, removed unnecessary barriers placed on faith-based programs by allowing states to contract with religious organizations or accept certificates or other forms of distribution on the same basis as any other non-governmental provider without impairing religious character of the organization and without diminishing religious freedom of the beneficiaries.
Okay.
That's what she sent me the last time we had a conversation about where it is. I will be more than happy to forward this email to anybody who would like it so that they can go and look themselves at exactly what it
states. Yeah, and you know, that'd be great if you could forward that on to Jeannie. And then, yeah, I did not get a chance because I just saw that email yesterday and get in touch with Corinne at DFS.
I'll go ahead and make sure I forward the email to everybody involved.
Yeah, that's kind of one of our concerns at this point.
Yeah.
So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to this topic, Tom?
Yes, I'm Tom Peters. I know most of you gentlemen. Very good to be here. I'm the chair of the PRC Family Tree Board. And one of the things I do need to say right off the bat is when it comes to any sort of information what clients are doing, there is a barrier between the staff of the PRC and the board. I don't even have a key to the building. We may be in the building, but we make sure that there's absolute confidentiality for all the clients that do walk in. And so I can see, during board meetings, I can see numbers and that sort of thing, but I don't hear stories. So that protects all of the confidentiality. And you bring up some good points, and really appreciate it. Briefly, just let me read what our goals and outcomes are. Be part of this process that Rob's been talking about. To educate teenagers and young adults about the risk of unplanned pregnancies and STDs, STIs, to assist individuals and families develop effective parenting skills, promote self-care and improve family functioning through prenatal parenting and life skill education, mentoring, and material assistance. Some of those things can be, the metric would be more like people coming to classes, people coming to meetings. But as far as the outcome in their own personal lives, many times it can be very difficult to tease that information out on what's actually happening in their lives. There may be changed behavior over time. So we really can't answer reduced number of unwanted pregnancies. That's a difficult metric to dive into and to be able to quantify. But we do, and we are a faith-based organization, and I would give it kind of a five-degree twist. It's not a church organization, it's a faith-based organization. We come from many different churches within the community. So I think that, I don't want to repeat what Robin's saying, but I would like to underline this, is that there are parts of our program that mesh quite nicely with other organizations, other 501c3 organizations, and even profit organizations, to help the disadvantaged in the community being Sublette County, not just Piney, but we have office hours in Piney as well. So we think that the goals of the Pregnancy Resource Center Family Tree do lend themselves to work in the community for disadvantaged mothers, disadvantaged young people. We work not only with SAVES, there's constant traffic back and forth from what I understand. And that's why that first part was really important. I don't know who the clients are. I don't know what the discussions are between Robin and our executive director, Darlene Sergesi. She's actually on a plane to a training session as we speak. But we do know that there is that communication, and it's relatively constant. And I'm also on the board of the food basket, and I do know that we work, and even though the food basket's not part of this process, there is work, we mesh there as well, whether it's food for people that just can't afford to have the food, or clothing, or stuff for their house. So all these organizations, it's really kind of interesting, because it's not only that formal network that Robin's talking about, but there's a lot of informality. And this grant allows us to be able to enter into those discussions and be a proactive part of just helping meet needs. And I don't know if that answers questions or gives you a more rounded view of what's going on. Sarah Murdoch is our administrative assistant, and she might have some more information if we get to specifics. But we believe that we can be a productive member of the community, and this grant helps us, fills in behind places that we can't fund ourselves so that we might be able to be at the table and helping the disadvantaged folks and the vulnerable folks in our community.
So, I don't have the actual figures in front of me, but I do know over the years that the PRC has been involved in the TANF and involved in coordinated care. And this is early on, so I don't know the numbers now, but I remember them talking, and for those of you that are in coordinated care, if you can help remember, there has been a reduction in teen pregnancies in Sublette County. One of the issues, like in any prevention, is to say why. Is it specifically because of one entity? Is it a community thing? Prevention is about social change and change of attitudes. So I can tell you that at one point, I don't know if it's still there, there was a reduced teenage pregnancies in Sublette County, and that was during the time frame that PRC was getting started and moving forward. So again, does that mean that they had a direct influence in those numbers? I would think that it means that they have at least some piece of that. I do know that the STD piece of the testing, or of the, because that's part of what they do in the school, is talk about STDs and that type of thing. And it's my understanding, and I don't have the documentation to say, and it's not necessarily in the grant, but I believe that STDs in Sublette County for that population have decreased. I remember that in some conversations that we've had, but again, that's not my bailiwick, so I don't necessarily know all of that information. Sarah? Do you have any information to add to any of that?
Thank you. Appreciate that. Matt, do you have anything to add here at this point?
Sure. And I know this debate over taxpayer money to faith-based organizations has been going on about 20 years, and I appreciate the letter sent by about the five or six community members. So the The section they cited in the Wyoming Constitution is Article 1, Section 19. Unfortunately, there's no case law to use as a guide. So we did some research on federal guidelines and stipulations for taxpayer money going to faith-based organizations. And some of them have been touched on by Robin already. No use of direct funding for inherently religious activities. No discrimination against beneficiaries based on their religion or beliefs. Separating the social service functions of the organization from their sponsoring religious institutions. Prohibiting religious activities and proselytizing in conjunction with the publicly funded services. And then there was an executive order issued in 2010 that went a little bit further. It said faith-based organizations that receive federal financial assistance may use their facilities to provide social services without removing or altering religious art, icons, scriptures, or other religious symbols. A faith-based organization that participates in a social service program may retain religious terms in its name, select its board members on a religious basis, and include religious references in the organization's mission statements and other chartering documents. So the county attorney's office doesn't have any information that these conditions are being violated. It sounds like the state is kind of tasked with making sure that the faith-based organization is separating out its religious activities from its social service functions. So again, we don't have any information that's being violated. If we did, I think we'd reconsider the TANF grant. So I recommend you move forward at this time, and if there's new information or additional information that comes to light that these are being violated, I think absolutely the commission will take a look at that.
Okay. If I may just add for one moment, because we do work with them and we have clients, in all of the years that PRC is there, we have never had a client complain that they felt that religious beliefs were a part of the services or preaching or that type of thing. It is my understanding and everything that I've seen that even though it is a religious-based organization, I do not see religious activities taking place within the four walls of PRC.
And I agree. And I think it's just trying to strike a balance between the federal and Wyoming Constitution and the prohibition between church and state, and also recognizing that religious organizations do a tremendous amount of charitable work and can be a positive impact in the community.
Oh, which I agree. And I think we all agree. That's not a question.
In my mind, it's you have to separate out those two functions, and if you do so, then those faith-based organizations are eligible for public funding.
So might I add here, so the county's role in this would be simply to approve the TANF grant application, and then if the TANF grant is awarded, then the county acts as the fiduciary agent, directed accordingly. So that's where we're at this point with the county. Any further comments or conversation before I entertain a motion?
I wonder if either Tom or Sarah could explain to me what it means to be a faith-based organization. You're not a church. You're not supported by a church.
Right. We're not a church. We're not supported by a church. We have donors that support, and we don't have religious services or ceremonies, that sort of thing. Our faith does not define our boundaries, but it's certainly... certainly informs our motives. And so, and everybody has motives, and everybody, you know, one set of motives or another. So it's not an organized, attached to any organized denomination, and it's not, we're not an organization that has church services. And so, a faith-based organization is an organization that has certain faith principles that we believe, but it does not inform our boundaries. Anybody can come in. Anybody can come in.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Seeing no further comments, then, gentlemen, I would entertain a motion at this time.
Mr. Chairman, I so move we approve the grant application.
I would second that.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the TANF grant application as presented. Any further discussion within the commission? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Robin, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here and for addressing us wonderfully. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Probably more so than you
want. I'd like to be excused to go watch Miranda in a play.
Excellent.
I need to be there at 12. So
very good. Let's do that.
I'll see you back here at 8:30.
Yes. Commissioner Bousman has a very important appointment with his granddaughter. And we're going to excuse Commissioner Bousman. And he will be back with us at 1:30.
Okay.
Kat, can we have a brief break?
Why, of course.
Thank you.
I will take all of 60 seconds or so once you're ready.
All right, I appreciate that.
He told me something about it.
I guess I gave you two.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, look at it and talk to it.
Sure.
He was just looking for me to know how long he's been waiting.
See you after.
Okay.
See you, Joe. And all we have to do is ask the client what their impression is. And if they suffer, it's a different level.
This should not be about stories, but we've heard some stories lately.
That was one of the things that
was not sure I could do.
So I am the last thing before lunch, huh?
Yeah. I made a copy of the revision, but I don't remember if I sent it to.
Yes, we'll find out. Yeah, we know the bottom line here. Yeah. They're getting what they asked for. Yeah. You know.
Yeah,
we
made it. We made the number work. So I have to tell you, crack up the other thing like this. So I think they're pretty bad.
Go be able to go someplace.